Let's read a few verses in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. In this chapter, we have Jesus standing at a judgment seat, Pilate's judgment seat, the governor of the land for Rome at that time. And we read about him in verse number 11, in verse chapter 27, verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor. Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou seest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now we read down in verse 19, And when he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. The governor said, Why, what evil hath he done? They cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then released he Barabbas unto them, and when he had scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Two little thoughts in this portion. Number one, Jesus was standing before Pilate. That's his position in the world today. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, Jesus is standing before you. He's standing there, and you are the governor. You're the one that's going to make a decision what you're going to do, not for Jesus, but what you're going to do with him. He has done something for you. And now he's saying, what are you going to do with what I have done for you? So he's standing before Pilate. Pilate is the governor. Now Pilate's got a problem. He doesn't know what to do. So we read in verse number 22, they asked the multitudes, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? He had a dilemma. He had a real problem. Didn't know what to do. He had a wife that was evidently a disciple of the Lord. I understand from history that his wife was a disciple, a believer of the Lord. She acknowledged in verse 19, as she said, don't have anything to do with that just man. Don't decide to crucify him. She said, I've suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. So Pilate looks to the multitudes, and especially the religious world, and he says, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? At this time of the year, the Passover time of the year, they release one prisoner and let one prisoner go. And, of course, it was a choice between Jesus and Barabbas. And, of course, he eventually let Jesus be crucified and Barabbas went free. You'll notice the question here. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called the Christ? It's not what shall I do for him. Most people think in order to be saved, I've got to do something for the Lord. I've got to do something that's pleasing to the Lord, that's acceptable to the Lord. I've got to do something. All are actually saying, I've got to do something myself. I've got to do something for myself. I've got to make myself better or make myself acceptable to the Lord. If you're a sinner, and you are a sinner, if you're a hopeless, helpless, guilty sinner before the Lord, then you've got nothing to do for Him. He has done something for you, and you've got to do something with Him. It's doing something with Him. Not doing something for Him, but doing something with Him. Now, others answered the question here for Pilate. He let the crowds answer the question. He had a lot of good things going for him, Pilate. He believed first that in verse 11 that Jesus was the King of the Jews. He was born the King of the Jews. The wise men came from the east in Matthew chapter 2. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? They were looking for a king. They were looking for a Messiah. Pilate believed he was that Messiah. He also believed that he found no fault in this man. He believed that Jesus had done nothing amiss, nothing wrong. Three times over, he said that he'd done nothing amiss. They told him when he actually had Jesus crucified, he put on the cross, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews," in three different languages. They said, "Don't write, 'He is the King of the Jews.' Say, 'He said He was the King of the Jews.'" Pilate said, "What I have written, I have written." In other words, "What I have written, I believe." He had a lot going for him. There's nothing to indicate that he was an unbeliever, in a sense, in the person of Christ. Not a thing to indicate that, but he still wasn't a Christian. He wasn't saved. And history tells us that he ended up a mental case somewhere in France and eventually died. Now, how true that is, I don't know. But he never seemed to ever get right with the Lord. Now, Jesus stood face to face before Pilate. That's what he came into the world for, to present himself as a Savior. The angelic world said when he was born in Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And that's the position of the Savior before you tonight if you're not saved. He's standing before you. He's done something for you. He died for your sins. And he's standing before you, but you are the governor. You have to do something with him. You have to do something with him. We're going to look at that later. Somebody's standing at the door of your house and they're knocking. They're not going to do anything. They're knocking. You have to do something. You have to tell them to go away. You have to open the door. You have to let them in. You have to do something. Because the onus, responsibility is on you. You've got to do something. Pilate was confronted with this, and he had a real dilemma. He didn't know what to do. He wanted to do the right thing, but he didn't do the right thing. He really wanted to let Jesus go. He tried his best to let Jesus go and have Barabbas crucified. But it was contrary to his wife. It was contrary to the crowds. In Mark's gospel it says he willing to content the people delivered him to be crucified. The religious world said crucify him. The religious world's been doing that ever since. The religious world says away with him, crucify him. They don't want him. But Jesus is standing tonight before you, and you are the governor. There's coming a future day when you're going to stand before him, and he's going to be the governor. That's a future day, but that day hasn't come yet. The Lord Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world, to judge the world, but to save the world. The next time he comes back, he's coming into the world to judge the world. But this particular time, in his first coming, he's standing before you, and you are the governor. And the problem you have is, what am I going to do with this man, Jesus of Nazareth, which is called the Christ? What am I going to do with him? I've got to do something. I'm confronted with a question. I'm confronted with a problem. And everybody's doing something with Jesus. One thing or the other, they're doing something with Jesus. So he had a real problem, a dilemma. But he also had a delusion. In verse 24, he thought what he could do, I'm going to take a basin of water, and I'm going to wash my hands before the multitude like this, and I'm going to say, I'm innocent of the blood of this man. That was a delusion. That comes from the Old Testament. If you found a man dead in the field, then you went before the elders and you washed your hands in the basin of water as much as say, I didn't kill the man. So by a religious observance, he washed his hands of the whole thing. He said, I'm free from the blood of this man. He wasn't. Because he was the one that actually decided that he'd be crucified. But by a religious observance, he thought he could wash his hands of the whole thing and be innocent of the blood of Christ. Jesus went to the cross because of our sins and the sins of mankind and sin, period. We're all guilty, in a sense, of the blood of Christ in that respect. Because he shed his blood on the cross for sinners, and we're all sinners. Had there been no sinners in the world, he'd have never come into the world to die on a cross between two thieves. So we're all guilty of the blood of Christ, in the sense. And you can't wash your hands of that with some religious rites. You can't just get religious, as it were, even do good things and wash your hands of the whole deal. He thought he could do that. But he just couldn't do that. So he made a decision. And his decision was, he released Barabbas unto them, and he scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Away with him. Away with him. That's terrible. Jesus standing before Pilate. And Jesus, Pilate is the governor. So you see, the Lord Jesus has made a provision for you at the cross. He died to take your sins away so that you could be saved. They are not taken away automatically. You have to come to a place where realize that you're the governor. And you've got to do something with what Jesus has done for you. And he stands before you as the Savior. He's died for your sins. And you are the governor. You must do something with him. You will do something with him. You are doing something with him. Everybody's doing something with him. Most of the people are saying, away with him. I don't want anything to do with him. Other people say, well, I believe all about him, but that won't save you. I always believed about him, but that won't save you. You've got to do something with Jesus and what he's done for you, because you are the governor. So he's made a provision, and he makes a proposal. The proposal is, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He says, I am the bread of life. He that believeth on me shall never hunger, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He makes a proposal. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus was standing before the governor. We're among those people, and Jesus is standing before people, and we must come to him. We're the governor. We're the controller. We're the one that he's waiting on. So what did Pilate actually do with Jesus? Well, he didn't reject him. He didn't say away with him, crucify him, although he ordered him to be crucified. He didn't cast him aside as being useless like the Jews did. They would not have this man to rule over them. He came unto his own in John 1 and verse 11, and his own received him not. He didn't slam the door in Jesus' face and say, I don't want anything to do with you. So he really didn't reject him. And there are a few people like that in the world today. They believe about Jesus. They don't reject him, but they're not saved. You don't have to reject the Lord to be lost. You're lost to begin with. You have to do something with Jesus in order to be saved. And rejecting him, of course, is fatal. If you reject him and say, I don't want this man to be my Savior, then you, the governor, have that right to reject him. But in a future day, at the end of the road, that's appointed and the man wants to die, and after that the judgment, and in the judgment, he's going to be the governor. And you're going to stand before him. He's going to be the governor. He's going to be the one that say, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. You'll have no choice in the matter then. But you do have a choice in the matter now. Rejecting the Lord is fatal. It ends up by reversing this little verse in verse 11. Jesus stood before the governor. Jesus will be the governor in that day, and you will be standing before him. The same Savior that died on the cross to save sinners, in Romans 1 and verse 16, it says that gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Romans 2 and 16 says that gospel is going to be the basis of the judgment of the secrets of all men who die in their sins. The same one that came into the world to be the savior of sinners is coming back to be the judge of sinners who do not accept him. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? It's your decision. You have to do something. You can reject him. That's your choice. You can say, I don't want him. That's your choice. Hearing about a girl 18 years old recently who wanted to be saved, but she was going to wait. She was only young. I'm only 18, she said. I'm going to wait. I want to enjoy some of my youth yet, and then I'll be saved. Within a week, that girl was in eternity. An accident happened. She was gone out into eternity. She waited 1 week too long, and she was lost. Jesus was standing before her and being presented to her. She didn't do anything with him. In the resurrection, she will stand before him, and he will be the governor. And he'll be the one that says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. You can reject him. Pilate, I don't believe, rejected him. You can neglect him. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect, not reject, but neglect so great a salvation? You can neglect it. I think most people neglect the Lord's salvation. They don't do anything. They don't say, I receive him or I reject him. I don't want to have anything to do with him or I want him. They don't say that. They just don't do anything. They just neglect him. Pilate did this by a religious, little religious act he did in verse 24, of washing his hands over a basin of water, declaring, I'm innocent. I'm innocent. I'm not guilty of the blood of this man. Yet he was. It was his sins, your sins, my sins, that put him on the cross. But he neglected him. I don't think Pilate rejected him. He neglected him. And there'll be more people likely in hell that believe in the Lord, believe about the Lord, but they never actually trusted him as their Savior. They're just neglecting him, just putting it off a day at a time. I can never say there was ever a time in my life as a boy growing up, a child growing up, that about what I always believed about Jesus. I always believed that I was a sinner. I always believed that Jesus died for sinners. But I was never saved. I was neglecting him. I wasn't doing anything about it. I was just letting myself go. I didn't reject him, but I neglected him. That's fatal. In order to please the people, people neglect the Lord for several reasons. Most of people don't believe they should be accept the Lord because of their friends. They let their friends stand in the way. Many cases of that on the pilot. Pilot is one of them. People get in their way and they won't accept the Lord. Others won't accept the Lord because they don't think they can live that Christian life, that kind of a life, and they can't live it till you get it. And when you get it, it lives in you. So they just neglect him. Rejectors and neglectors will be lost forever. But when they leave this scene as a rejecter of Christ, as one who neglected his great salvation, then they're going to come face to face with Jesus, and he's going to be the governor then. The Bible says it's a fearful thing, a terrifying thing, a frightful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. In Hebrews 10 and verse 31. To think to stand before the great white throne in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 and 12, and the books all open, and every sin you've ever committed is unveiled there, and you are justly judged by the governor. And the governor there will be the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not the governor now. You are the governor now. He'll be the governor then. Or you can accept him. You can receive him. You can trust him as your Savior. John 1 and verse 12 says, to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. How did they do that? Even to them that believe on his name. Those that trust in his name. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It isn't just asking the Lord to save you. It's embracing all that there is in that name. Because in the name of Jesus, his name means Jehovah is salvation. And when you embrace all that there is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're embracing all of his work and all that he's done. That's receiving him as your Savior. The Bible puts it this way. A man asked the question, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He wanted to be saved. He knew he was lost. And that's the first step in being saved. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an act of the will where you decide, I'm going to put my trust in Christ as my Savior. That's receiving him. It's more than believing about him. It's actually trusting in him. So let me ask you the question. What will you do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Nobody on earth can answer that question for you. You're the only one that can answer it. It's your decision. Nobody can make it for you. It's the most important decision that you'll ever make. What will I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ? Whatever you decide to do with him is going to fix your eternal destiny. If you decide to reject him and neglect him, you're fixed forever when you leave this world. It's hell for you. If you decide to accept him, then your destiny is heaven. A very simple choice, but a very important one. You are now the governor, but he will be the governor after you leave this scene. May the Lord help you tonight if you're not saved to make that decision, knowing that I'm a sinner, knowing that if I die the way I am, I'm going to go to hell, but I'm going to put my trust completely in the Lord Jesus as my Savior tonight, this very moment. And I'm going to be saved for eternity. If you do that, God will save you right where you are. But you have to make that decision. You are the governor. God can't make that. God will not make that decision for you. You have to make that decision to put your trust in the Savior. Be saved from your sins tonight. Shall we pray? Our Father, we come to thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who came into the world to present Himself to mankind as the Savior of sinners. Thank Thee that He died to make the great provision to save whosoever will that comes unto Him. We ever thank Thee for all those who are saved, all those who have trusted the Savior. We ever pray for any in our little company and elsewhere tonight where the gospel might be preached, that they might come to grips with these things and put their trust in the Savior and be saved as well. So we ask Thy blessing upon all.